We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Always a joy to talk to our friend Joe Fortenbaugh. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. 95.7 The Game in San Francisco, the Daily Wager on the four-letter network, and of course, he's our guy. Good morning, Joe. How are you, pal?
Morning, Joe.
Gentlemen, good morning, and let last night be a lesson to all the sports bettors out there. Week 2 in the NFL, if you haven't already talked about it, is overreaction week. Too many people are going to go into Week 2 betting based on what they saw in Week 1. That's not to say you completely dismiss Week 1, but people put too much weight and too much value on it. You saw it last night. Tampa Bay against Carolina. Carolina is this huge favorite. Tampa wins outright. You're going to be surprised by a lot of what you see on Sunday. So I would say this, if you're not going to put a lot of research in, but you want to bet some of the games, just bet the opposite of what you saw last week. It's not going to feel comfortable, but a lot of people are going to go in the next Monday going, wow, I can't believe X, Y, and Z. You should believe X, Y, and Z. Too many people overrate what they saw in Week 1. This is a big weekend for the professional bettors. They know they can take advantage of market inefficiencies.
So how do you apply that to the Bears game? 2.5-point favorites at Denver.
Okay, this is a great question. So let's take a look at the look-ahead line. This is a line that comes out in Vegas prior to the next week's game. So I guess the best way to say it would be last Tuesday going into Week 1, point spreads come out for Week 2. Okay, this past Tuesday, point spreads come out for Week 3. They're then taken off the board on Sunday before the games, and then they reemerge. So to give you an example, last week on the look-ahead line, prior to the Bears playing the Packers, prior to the Broncos playing at Oakland, you had Denver, you had a pick'em. It was a pick'em game, okay? Bears go out and lose, Broncos go out and lose. Game reemerges, essentially, what was it, Denver minus one Sunday night, then the Broncos lost Monday, then the Bears came out at 2.5 as a favorite. So what you're seeing is, originally, this was looked at a pretty even game, considering the Bears were on the road, and even though the Bears lost to Green Bay, the Bronco loss was perceived to be much, much worse, which is why the Bears are currently a 2.5-point favorite there. Now, do you want to lay 2.5 on the road? Well, a lot of the guys I talk to are going to probably be playing Chicago here, which is good news. I know there's concern over the quarterback position, but you have the extra days of rest going into this game, and what concerns you the most about, say, Joe Flacco and that offense? They didn't look good against Oakland, and the Bears can still play defense. We know that. We saw that firsthand. So I'd imagine the angle for a lot of people is, well, Vic Fangio knows Mitchell Trubisky. He knows this offense. He coached them last year. Sure, but Nagy and the rest of the Bears know what Fangio wants to do as well. And at least the Bears and Nagy are proven winners going back to last season. I know that didn't look good against Green Bay, but this team has won before. Has Vic ever won as a head coach? Because some of his decision-making was very questionable.
Right.
Remember, as a defensive mind, Bradley Chubb and Von Miller only generated 4 pressures against Derek Carr and that terrible offensive line. They didn't record a single sack against the Raiders. That would concern me. That's why I'd lean to the Bears.
And I agree with what you're saying. I think there is a ton of overreaction. I think that obviously the Week 2 is a big one, but a friend of mine is in one of these, you know, whatever, elimination leagues. You know, you've got to win to keep going. It doesn't matter. Point spread. And I said to him, he's like, who should I take? What should I do? And I said, just take anyone who plays Miami. And that, maybe that's an overreaction to Week 1, but I mean, when you hear reports that guys want to get the hell out of town after the first game of the year, what does that tell you?
That's great. That is great information. And to be honest with you, when we do look at Week 1, that's the type of stuff we can apply to week two and beyond. Minkah Fitzpatrick, his agent, has been granted permission to seek a trade. Miami looks highly dysfunctional. So that's a great point. It's not to say we discount everything we saw in week one, but there is information we can take away. For example, Tampa's defense looked pretty good against the Niners. All right, well, maybe it's just the 9-0. Now we see them go out and play well against Carolina. There's a reason the Sharps were betting the under in last night's game. It was as high as 50.5. It went down to 48. You saw what Carolina's defense could do. Tampa's defense is better than expected. And when we get to one of my NFL picks, I'll explain a lot of this as a reason why. But what do you want to do? Do you want to lay 19 with New England? A lot of people are going to be tempted. I would say this. Remember that Brian Flores, the head coach yes. of the Dolphins, used to work for Belichick. Is Belichick really going to want to humiliate him? You're playing in that heat and humidity. You get a lead. You hold on late. Maybe there's a backdoor cover. A lot of points there. I know there are a lot of guys that if somehow, some way that gets to 21, they'll be coming back playing Miami.
All right, Joe.
You're not trying to keep the alums happy.
That's true.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about any of that.
No like style Nick points Davis. Either. So let's get to what are your NFL picks?
All right, the NFL picks this week are as follows. Favorite game of the week is laying the 1.5 with Cincinnati over San Francisco. So this is overreaction week, right? We see the lines move towards the teams that won and move against the teams that lost. Case in point, take a look at the Baltimore-Arizona game. On the look-ahead line, Baltimore was a 9.5-point favorite. Arizona goes out, they look sloppy, they play good late, they get a tie. Baltimore goes out and throttles Miami. That jumps from 9.5 to 13.5. That's what you would expect. So riddle me this. Cincinnati goes to Seattle. They lose. San Francisco goes to Tampa Bay. They win. And from the look-ahead line, which was San Francisco minus 2.5, this moves all the way to as high as Cincinnati minus 2 in some places. A 4 to 4.5-point move to the loser rather than the winner. That tells you something very, very dramatic. That is the money coming in on Cincinnati for a couple of reasons. Number one, that was a good loss for Cincinnati. The Brown loss against Tennessee was a terrible loss. 18 penalties, 3 turnovers, very undisciplined, very sloppy. But the Bengal loss was a good loss. They played competitive football. They were in that game the entire way. Dalton looked better than we've seen in a while. And they're down A.J. Green and Joe Mixon got hurt. They were very competitive as a double-digit underdog in a very hostile environment. They're coming home. This is the key. Of their first 4 games, 3 are on the road. They're at Seattle, then they're hosting the Niners this weekend, then they're at the Bills, and they're at the Steelers. You lose this game, your season's done. You've got to take advantage of the one home game you have in the opening 4 weeks. You've got a good offense, a better-than-expected defense. Niners are a better team, don't get me wrong. There's going to be a lot of unders to play on the Niners because this defense can play some football. They spent the week in Youngstown, Ohio. I like Cincinnati. Given the situation, I think they're an undervalued team, and that line move speaks volumes. Game number 2, it's going to be tough for a lot of people to bet this. I'll take the 9.5 with Jacksonville against Houston. I understand that Nick Foles got hurt, but this is about a 6.5-point move from Foles to Gardner Minshew, the backup quarterback. Foles is not worth that many points. Like Aaron Rodgers is worth 7 points. Foles is not worth 6.5. Remember, these are division rivals. And Houston's on the short week. They're coming off the close, disappointing loss to New Orleans. I could see this game being a lot sloppier than people expect. Remember, if you're going to show me a total of about 43 points, 43 on the over-under, which is what this is, and you're going to give me a dog that's catching 9.5, Vegas is telling you it's going to be low scoring, but they're giving you an underdog with a good defense plus 9.5. I'll take those points. I know it's going to be tough for some to bet that, but I'll be playing Jacksonville plus 9.5. Game number 3, Baltimore, Arizona, over 46 points. Arizona has a terrible defense. They gave up 477 total yards and 27 points to a below-average Detroit team last week. Now, I know that went overtime, so the numbers may be inflated. But remember, the defensive coordinator in Arizona is Vance Joseph. Vance Joseph has never been good calling a defense, yet he continues to get jobs calling a defense. His 1 year as a defensive coordinator in Miami, the Dolphins ranked 29th in total defense. Then he took over an outstanding defense in Denver, and for 2 years, slowly but surely, made them worse and worse. Now he's calling the defense in Arizona. Alford's hurt. Patrick Peterson's out with the PED suspension. Baltimore, this isn't even so much a reaction to what I saw from Baltimore's offense, although we talked about it last week. The upgrade from Marty Morningweg is the play caller to Greg Roman is going to be huge. So Baltimore's going to hang some serious points, and I think eventually Kingsbury will panic like last week, and he'll have Kyler Murray throwing the ball all over the yard. This game opened around 41 and jumped up to 46. It's one of the biggest moves of the week. I think it continues to climb, so I'm going to play over Baltimore-Pittsburgh 46. I'm going to lay the 3.5 with the Steelers. I know they look terrible. They're hosting Seattle. I think every wise guy is going to be on Pittsburgh this week. First of all, the Patriots always embarrass the Steelers. Second of all, they got to go to San Francisco next week. So this is the only home game in the opening 3 weeks. And then they're going to play back-to-back divisional games after the Niners road trip. You got to get this win. And Seattle last week showed you 10-point home favorite. They had to eke that win out. They're not very good defensively. They traded away Frank Clark. I know Jadeveon Clowney's there, but I'd rather have Frank Clark. Not great protection for Russell Wilson. Running game's okay. Wide receivers, what do you got? There's not a lot of explosion. Pittsburgh bounces back, in my opinion. I'd lay the points there. So basically, I'm giving you Cincinnati minus 1.5 over the Niners, Jacksonville plus 9.5 over Houston, go over 46 in Baltimore, Arizona, lay the 3.5 with Pittsburgh over Seattle. If you're looking for some teasers, I think you can tease Kansas City. They're at Oakland. Take them from minus 7 down to minus 1. I think you can tease Jacksonville up to 15. I think you could tease Indianapolis up to 9. And if you're looking for some get-back money Sunday night football, it's going to be Philadelphia and Atlanta. Atlanta's catching 2 at home here. I probably lean to the Falcons. What I like more is Atlanta's team total. Right now it's 25 points. Philly's defense looked highly suspect against Washington. I think Atlanta comes home with the crowd noise after what happened last week. They score more than 25 points there. I would play that.
Just out of curiosity, we know that the Jets quarterback has got mono, so he's going to be out. Does that game open at a pick'em and now is like a touchdown or 6.5, something like that?
Yeah.
Does the same logic apply? I'm just curious. You know, how many points is he worth, Darnold?
When you move to Trevor Siemian, who we've seen before, kind of a game manager,
yeah.
And you got to factor in how much people love Cleveland. Cleveland is a very public team this year. They were very public coming into the season. A lot of people like their Super Bowl futures, over 9 wins. I was bearish on them. I did not like it was the basic Warren Buffett line, right? Like, be fearful when others are greedy. Be greedy when others are fearful. Everyone's telling me about Cleveland. Like, I'm not buying it. Also, quick side note, mono is a very underrated disease. I got mono when I was in 11th grade. And that coincided, I was at the movie Titanic, so you can probably figure what was going on there. Shout out Leo DiCaprio. I appreciate your performance there because it really helped me out. But I got to tell you, I got knocked out of school for like a month, and then I got the doctor's note for the rest of the spring. I was only doing half days, but they never put an end date on it, so I was just shooting hoops in the morning, not going into school, or I was leaving school early, and the teachers didn't like me to begin with, so I never really got called out on any of that. Mono is a highly underrated disease. I'm not saying go out and get mono, but if you have it and you get knocked out of high school, it's fantastic. I was watching Jerry Springer like all day.
Yeah, usually people are in high school when they get mono, which is what makes it interesting.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that was me, 11th yeah. grade. I got all the answers to all the tests from all my friends. It really broke favorably for me, I got to be honest.
Best thing ever happened.
All right, Joe, what about the college picks?
All right, not a loaded college slate this week. I'll tell you this. I'll start with the Oklahoma State team total. Based on the spread and the total, they're going to come out at around 39 points on the team total against Tulsa. I'm going over. Oklahoma State's offense has just been running through its opposition so far. Oregon State, and then last week they had a patsy game. They got a new offensive coordinator in there. The guys from Princeton. They got a young quarterback. They're trying some things out, and they're using these early games to experiment, and they're throwing the ball all over the field. Now, they need to get ready for that Big 12 schedule that's coming up, so they're punishing their opponents. I like Oklahoma State to go over 39 total points. Big revenge game. Florida's laying 8 at Kentucky. It's a big number. I understand if no one wants to play with it. You got Felipe Franks as the Gator quarterback. Very difficult to trust him, but remember something. Dan Mullen, the head coach at Florida last year, his first SEC game at the Swamp, he lost to Kentucky. Florida had beaten Kentucky, I think it was like 31 times in a row, and he lost that game at home. This has obviously been on his schedule for a long, long time. This is on their radar. They're looking for the payback. The Gators have had a ton of success in Kentucky over the years. They won 15 straight on the road at Kentucky. and I believe the other number is something like 11-4 against the spread during those games. So I'd lay it with the Gators, big revenge spot, very popular play amongst the sharps, laying the points with UCF over Stanford. Doesn't matter who's at quarterback for Stanford. Very sluggish and anemic on offense. UCF has been a covering machine the last few years. So laying the 9 with UCF over Stanford, laying the 8 with Florida over Kentucky, Oklahoma State team total over 39 points. And then I'm going to be on Iowa State plus 2. Game day's going to Ames. It's the first time they've ever been there. Huge rivalry matchup. I know the line has been moving to Iowa, so I'm not going to tell you this is a great play, but Iowa State has been very good to bettors, especially as a home dog. Matt Campbell, the head coach, they're 11-2 against the spread in their last 13 as a home dog. That's going to be a great game this weekend. I'd probably put a little on the Cyclones as well.
I'll tell you what, Joe, you're the best, buddy.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, pal.
Appreciate it.
Love you guys. Go Bears. Hopefully you guys have a much better week. And then next week we're talking about, you know, running the table, 15-1, Super Bowl.
Stay healthy.
It's a plan.
Yeah, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.